Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to begin my talk today by reciting a poem that I've known since I was in college. It will be the basis for my talk. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. It was written by Myra Brooks Welch. Perhaps you know it also. 'Twas battered in a scar, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while, placed much worth in the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folk?" he said. "Who'll start bidding for me? $1, $1, $2. We'll make it $2, $2, $3 once, $3 twice. Going for $3, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. And wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet, as sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, in a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he added up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it $2? $2,000, who'll make it $3? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. Well, the people cheered, but some of them cried, "We really don't quite understand. What changed its worth?" The man replied, "The touch of a master's hand." And many a soul, with their life out of tune, and battered and torn in sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game that they travel on. They're going once, they're going twice, they're going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd, they never quite understand the worth of a soul, and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. When I first read this poem, I decided it was about the homeless person or the alcoholic or the addict. It wasn't for me. It wasn't for us. But recently, I've changed my mind. The poem fits all of us to some level. It was battered and scarred. That doesn't seem to usually fit me. But sometimes it has. Perhaps not physically, but emotionally. When it happens, I seem to remember it for a long time. Perhaps when I was about 8 years old, I remember playing in a neighbor's backyard. I went home to lunch and came back afterwards to play some more. I could hear the sound of children playing in the backyard. At the gate, the neighbor who owned the house stopped me. "Oh, we're not playing here anymore. Everyone's gone home." I knew that wasn't true. I turned away and walked sadly home. It was so long ago, I don't remember what I felt like. I'm sure I wondered what I had done wrong. It was all small battering. Probably left some scars on me. Throughout the years at home or neighborhood or friends or school, some batteries came to me, and I'm sure they left scars. Though actually, it's sometimes good to have someone else to blame for my silly acts. I only hope they somehow left me more compassionate too. And the poem talks about the violin as though it was worthless. It looked dusty and dirty, and probably wasn't a good model. How many people do we know today who are ill-dressed and dirty and don't speak as we do? It's easy to feel that they don't have much worth. But then we get to know them. And the people get to know them in the violin, like the violin when he was playing. And usually we change our mind about them. In fact, we hear their beautiful music, and we really listen to them. Sometimes, however, we are so intent on what we don't like about them that we don't see anything else. Have you ever longed to make beautiful music? I have. I've sometimes longed to be famous, and then I would be okay. I know that's not true. I have learned that beautiful music comes from many quiet places. A few weeks ago, I was in the dining room area of the Highland House out in Highland in Arlington, a large house. And a member of the community came home really mad. She was just mad, but had a bad day. An assistant asked her if she would like a snack. No, I don't want a snack. So then the assistant said if she would like, what she would like for lunch the next day. She said with a look of, don't bother me. And she grumbled something. So when the assistant who had to get her lunch ready patiently said, well, we have cheese and peanut butter and jelly. Would one of those be all right? Again, a negative response. Finally, the assistant very patiently said, how about if I write cheese on one slip of paper and peanut butter on the other, and we mix them all up, and then you choose one? Well, that sounded like kind of fun. So she thought that would be all right. And so that wasn't right, it changed the flavor of the whole day. And they got along happy. They made beautiful music together. Another time I heard a story about Mo Higgs, who has given me permission to tell it. Mo hates to have eye drops put in his eyes. So one day an assistant came to him with this suggestion. You know, Mo, we try to discourage anyone from saying cuss words in the house. But this time I'll make an exception. How would you like when somebody puts an eye drop in your eye to see a cuss word? Well, Mo thought that was a great idea. So after that, when Mo got his eye dropped, he said this cuss word and he laughed. And they made beautiful music after that. Another time I was, and there was my housemate, Amy Lou. She gets up every morning, goes out on the balcony and feeds the birds. And later that day, she goes down the hall and welcomes them and talks to the person who's been there. That's beautiful music also. My family and friends also bring me beautiful music. Now I don't drive, they offer to take me places wherever I need to go. I feel they care for me by everyone around me. It makes growing old a pleasure. Last weekend, my son Bob kept calling me from New Jersey. I couldn't understand what was going on. When I asked him what was going on, he said, well, that's because my daughter, Carol, was going out of town. And she told him he had to take care of me from New Jersey, so he did. He kept calling me to see that I was all right. It felt good. I come to church these days partly to hear good music. I certainly hear that from the musicians, but I hear it also from all of you. The greeting I get when I arrive, the room set up for worship with loving hands, the people around me greeting all of us with smiles and hugs. The hello I get from Jimmy, God loves you and I love you. The letter I get from Barbara. These all make beautiful music. And you, I see beyond the day that we're here. I see you during the week, teaching children and adults, helping ex-convicts get back into music in the society, taking in the stranger and giving him a home, working with women and children, caring for people who need help or who are disabled, listening to us and caring for our spiritual needs, and doing many other things that create beautiful music. Then I listened in a poem about the worth of a soul, and I think of Andrew at Euclid Street. When he was about to become a member of L'Arche, I thought, well, but what did he have to offer our community? We would certainly take good care of him, but he didn't even speak except to say some sign languages. Well, I was so wrong. His friendliness has enhanced our society, and he's a very popular guy. Other core members came into our community. They were often filled with anxiety and violence. They needed a master's hand. They got so much love and respect from our assistants that they became new people. Michael went from being very silent to becoming very self-assured and speaks very well. Or sometimes we overdo it. All of us have been helped by somebody and are touched by a master's hand. Then I finally ask myself, do I want to be touched by the master's hand? The answer I give comes from an expression often repeated by Moby Hicks. Sometimes, not all the time. And that's the truth. That's what I have to say. I sometimes turn away, fearful of the personal consequences. I choose my words and actions very carefully to avoid violence. I enjoy my possessions and waste my time doing things that keep me busy. And yet I know where my heart is. I too have been given new life by the touch of the Master's hand. And I want to follow him. Today's scripture from John talks about the way the disciples are to love each other. Jesus knows he's going to be beyond them now. And he gives them the best message he can. Love one another as I have loved you. So you are to love one another. I would like to close my talk with some words from Pope Francis. He recently had a little book that I read from him. It's wonderful. And this is what he says. This is the invitation which I addressed to everyone. Let us be renewed by God's mercy. Let us be loved by Jesus. Then we enable the power of the love to transform our lives too. Let us become agents of this mercy, channels through which God can water the earth, protect all creation, and make justice in